Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
everybody. This is Liquid Damage at the Liquid Damage Lounge. Thank you all for coming. We are sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are all so happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and offer a variety of programming for your entertainment. There is something different going on with us every night of the week. You never know what you might have up our sleeves. So come check us out. And before I go any further, let me welcome 253. Who's calling 253?
This is Dream Stars.
I'm sorry.
This is Dream Stars from All Poetry.
June. Okay.
Yeah.
And 814, who's calling?
Hey, that's Rachel E. Gregg. I'm waiting to read a poem and have a little fun. I'm excited about your show.
Right on. Well, we got lots of poets here tonight.
I bet.
I want to introduce everybody to Hatter, my co-host. He's just a world of help. I couldn't do this without him, so I wanted to introduce you to him. And my friend Carmine, who's decided to join us again this month for a show. And you all know, probably know each other better than I do. So let's get started here. Hatter, do you want to start us out on, we'll do Arcana SoundCloud. Can you pull him up?
Carmine's, is that who you want? I loaded Rachel Greggs. Peace.
Let's do it. I want to hear that poem.
Rachel?
I was enticing the others to go first.
You were the first on the list.
Well, I guess I'm up then. I write a lot of poems. That's what I do for my – it's my hobby. But it's something I'd like to be able to do more with. So my poem is too long for the broadcast, and I apologize for that. But it's called Kindergarten Wagers. Miss Carson and Tricia were always at odds. We kindergartners bet our snack money on their battle. Round one, alphabet. Tricia raised her hand. Do you need to go potty? Miss Carson cringed. I think this went way on it stuck in my nose. Oh my, Tricia, should I get the nurse? Nah, I almost got it. Blood gushed out of Tricia's nose, spilling onto her desk, followed by a red crayon. We kindergartners looked on in horror and amazement. Miss Carson cleaned up the mess during recess. On the playground, coins and cookies were stealthily exchanged. The next round, the odds were 3-1 on Tricia. Round two, art. Tricia was overzealous with the pace. Glue in her hair in her mouth, hands white with salty goo. Miss Carson hovered above her. Tricia, keep your palms flat on this desk for 20 minutes. Do not remove them. Tricia's hands were firmly adhered to her desk by recess. We kindergartners played, hit our desk, counted our winnings. Tricia licked dry paste off her desk, trying to free her hands from the sticky mess. The match was even going into the final round. Round three, story time. Miss Carson was seated on a chair. We kindergartners formed a half circle on the floor facing her. Tricia crawled frantically around to the carpet, nudging kids off their mat to feel the rug underneath their Indian cross legs. Miss Carson's face turned scarlet. Tricia, she screamed, what are you doing? A somber voice muttered out from under the fish tank. I lost my eyes, she cried, on her stomach, reaching under the aquarium pump, with a goldfish-sized net collecting clumps of dust. Miss Carson sprang out of her chair, launched into the sea of eager-eyed kindergartners, on her hands and knees scrambling, oblivious to her awestruck form, shoving us aside aggressively, bushwhacking her past to Tricia. Amber and Bobby's heads smacked together. Miss Carson used Amy's ponytail as a balance. Maneuvering her way around Timmy, Chelsea veered left, tripped into a chair. The casualty count was rising. Nursing our injuries, we kindergartners turned our attention to the climax. Tricia arose, wandered aloofly, confused by her disheveled classmates. To the center of the semicircle, unaware, the adversaries came face to face. Miss Carson glared, bulging eyes pressed against the frames of her glasses. Tricia blinked absently, both eyes intact. What exactly did you mean when you said you lost your eye? Miss Carson seethed. My doll's eye, Tricia whined. I can't find it. Principal Stevenson came in to suspend Miss Carson. Tricia took the match.
However, it's always the toddlers that win in the end. What an exceptionally funny story
that is,
Rachel.
They tend to be a little
wild.
I will say this.
Yes, they are.
I remember being in kindergarten, and I remember Tricia. And I remember Tricia wandering around. The rest of it's a bunch of things I made up. But I do remember Tricia wandering around during story time and complaining about how she lost her eye. And Miss Carson, I remember her eyes bulging against her glasses because she had these big eyes anyway. It was quite entertaining as a kindergartner.
Right. Well, my favorite part was when you said blood gushed out of Trisha's nose, spilling onto her desk, followed by a red crayon. because my story was the same, except it was a bean, and the doctor had to come, forceps, then blood spilled out. But very, very cute.
Uh-huh.
I think this was very well written with tons of colorful imagery.
I took
imagery.
That because I had another friend that actually had a crayon lodged in his nose and needed emergency surgery. I just went through my friends as child and kind of put it all together.
Well, I thank you so much for bringing this hilarious piece to my show. Thank you for taking part. You rock. And with
thank
that,
you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you came. I remember your piece last time. I can't remember
know,
the
I
title
that
of
all
it,
up.
But no, it was funny. You're a funny writer, and you know, humor is hard to do. Humor is very hard to write.
That's,
I know because I write for
thing. Like, basically, I have spent most of my life making mistakes, and every time I make a mistake, I think about how I could turn it into a story, and so that's where my poetry comes from.
Right. Well, let's get you some comments here. Carmine, what did you think?
You know, kindergarten children do the funniest things. The way she had explained it it was really funny. You know, you're sticking a pen up your nose, and then, of course, with the child exclaiming that she lost her eye, and not really, it was the eye of her doll, but just sometimes in the lumber, and then you find out that it's not as serious as it was. But that's, you know, that's kids for you. You know, what they say and what they do is fascinating because they're learning and they're growing. And what she had done in respect to the story was realistic. I mean, that's what kids do. I thought it was cute. I really did. And what she has to do, like she says, whenever she makes mistakes, she writes stories. That's, you know, that's fun. And just keep on running, dear. Just keep on running.
Thank you. My favorite part was
great
the fact
comment,
that the teacher retaliated.
Okay, Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, it reminded me of when I got asked to coach a T-ball team. It's when you get kids that age, it's one near disaster after another. You got to keep your eyes on the swivel. Yeah, I liked it. Any of those stories that you could put into a humor form, I really appreciate it. That was very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cool, Hatter. Jean, what did you think?
Sorry, me.
Jean, are you there?
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
She might not have got it in front of her.
Sorry.
Oh.
I'm, sitting over here doing multiple things at once, so.
Oh, okay.
That could be a poem.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I really thought your poem really brought out, like, the introspection of kindergarten and the real, like, I mean, I remember kindergarten, too, and it wasn't that long ago for me. I'm kind of a younger poet, but, you know, it's just so interesting how you can make anything into something that you just write. And I really like that you described things like, like the crayon up the nose or like the doll missing the eye or stuff like that. Like, it just reminds us of like our childhoods and our kindergartens and stuff like that.
There are so many hidden stories in our childhood
that could be turned into poetry. Like, I've been learning that the more that I write, and I think that it's amazing to, like, take something that seems frivolous and turn it into something more meaningful.
Definitely, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I thought about that with old people. What wonderful stories they must be able to tell us to teach us lessons. I thought about going around.
My roommate is 76. So I have a roommate that's 76, and I help her. She's in good condition, but I'm watching her as she slowly starts to forget things that she always would have remembered before.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting thing. And, like, the more that she struggles with her memory, the more that she is angry, you know? And so I have to always be forgiving and say, okay, you know what? This isn't really who you are. And I know that you are somebody that is very special and has taught me so many things. You know, I just have to work on that sometimes.
Well, before I forget, AP, what did you think?
I thought it was a wonderful story, Liquid Damage. I just thought it had a beautiful sense and rhythm to the story. There's something about storytelling where you've got to get not just the words right, but you've actually got to get involved in the characters. And so it wasn't just the right, it was how you went about actually telling us the story. And both were as good as each other. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I try to, like, immerse myself. Like, whenever I start to write a story like that, like, I try to go back to that time and re-envision it from the place that I was at that time in my life and use that as the way that I craft my story. And that really helps me to make sure that I get the result that I want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. P.A.P. Great job.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Rachel. Okay, Hatter, who do we got next?
I think I have poet Picasso's Franks, but can somebody put the link of the show on the chat line? Oh, yeah. The Blog Talk link on the chat line for Pee-wee.
Oh, I got it, I think.
Okay, good. And I'll load that next one. Get back, okay. Okay, next one up is Poetic Picasso. Nope.
Hang on to your chairs, everybody.
Okay, there we go. There it is. And
okay.
There might be a sound cloud for that one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, cool. Everybody got it in front of them? Poetic Picasso?
Yep.
Okay.
I am.
There it goes, I think. Is it playing?
There's so much value in hearing a poet read their own poem. Just saying.
I am definitely agree. That you fear at night, the central master of perverted pleasures. For I am the one that controls your mind, the dark eye that watches you now. I can see you in the shower as you undress before me. I know that you are all alone and vulnerable at my mercy. I can hear the drops of the pouring water of the shower drenching your naked body entirely and slowly afterwards. You close the curtains unaware of my menacing presence, unaware that tonight is the dreaded hour of your death. Can you hear my deep breath as my footsteps approach you, some through wicked sharp blade and my penetrating knife, I hold. Let the whore begin with the deluded delights of diversion and the uncontrollable rage of it is my insidious insanity. As your screams are muted by the slicing slashes of my knife, within the thick pools of blood lays your motionless body. Some would deem me crazy or the madness of a psychopath, but I am much more than any mere episode of a nightmare, for I am the seductor of sin and the reaper of temptation. The lingering fear that never seems to go away in the end. You see, I enjoy this macabre pleasure, for I am a psycho.
Bravo, my psycho friend. You have literally outdone yourself for this scary beyond belief. I love the way you dove right into the vile behavior, never missing a beat. My favorite part of this psycho presentation is, let's see, where is it? Let the horror begin with the deluded delights of diversion and the uncontrollable rage of what is my insidious insanity. As your screams are muted by the slicing flashes of my knife, within the thick pools of blood lays your motionless body. This is an incredible rite, Frank, full of vile and vulgar descriptions and, yes, insidious imagery that was sickly, sensuous, and entirely horrific. Step down, Norman Bates. The psycho poet has arrived. Thank you, Frank, for your impressive material. And for that...
Unmuted.
AP?
I can tell you what I think if you want.
I'm back, Linda. I'm sorry. I muted myself. There you go. I do that sometimes. Look, I was just going to say, I think Frank's the master of production, Linda. He does a wonderful job with sound effects. The sort of scuttling cockroaches was a classic. And he uses wonderful words to build to that laugh. You always know the laugh's coming. You're just saying, okay, it's coming, here it goes, and he just delivers every time. It's quite remarkable.
He did not do the laugh last time. Last month he didn't do it. I was dumbfounded.
Besides yourself, well, I wasn't here last month. There you go. So I haven't heard a laugh from Frank Palm before.
Gene, did you get a chance to read along with that?
I did, yeah. I'm also part of All Poetry. My name on there is Dream Stars.
Oh, you're Dream Star. Okay.
Yes, I'm Dream Star. Mm-hmm. I really thought that it was just exceedingly amazing.
Right on.
Like, it was just so, like, dark and deep, and yet it just had, like, that scary element to it. And I haven't heard one of their poems at all, and so really listening to it this time, I haven't been on the show before, but listening to it this time, just, like, I was like, whoa, this is great work. Like, Edgar Allan Poe work, you know, it's just kind of, like, chill to your bone kind of thing.
Oh, he would be so thrilled you said that. Frank is a master of macabre and just a wonderful poet. He does scary just really well. Let's see, Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling on it was when I heard you reading it, I was able to hear the words more clearly. I think the voiceover was a little distracting for me. When you were reading it, when you were reading that verse, I thought to myself, this is incredible alliteration. And I would like to just get on, I mean, because I don't have it in front of me. But, I mean, if I could get online and just read it, I think I would really love it even more. Like, I mean, I felt, though, that the, like I was saying, like, there's something about reading in your own voice. And I think that that would have been more powerful to me with this piece. And I hate to be critical because it's a wonderful poem, but that would be my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Right on. Okay. Carmine, what did you think of this scary piece?
Well, it's a good, excellent piece for Halloween, I'll tell you right now. It's got the dark side, and it's also got the psycho element whereby, you know, this creature, whatever it is, the mind looks into the heart or looks into the person, wherever he or she is, he knows what is going on. And it's controlled. And once it controls, then it has the person in chains. So this psycho, phenomenon of the mind is the one that causes whatever he or she, it wants. And in doing so, the person becomes his or her slave. Dark in the sense of it, but he did an excellent job on it, especially as the comment meant about alliteration. That's not easy to write, but to write that way and to be that, that colorful in the shadows and keep it there, shows he has a lot of talent in that category or genre.
He can envision right things that I cannot envision, which I think is really cool. I love reading poetry like that.
Yeah,
that's right. You have to have that sense of
mind opening. You have to put yourself in that mood.
And in order for it to come out as powerful as that was, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. And he did it. You could see what
about the
language factor
behind that.
Yeah. Heather.
Yeah, I'm always impressed with Frank's work. We entered into the performance art of poetry using the radio and our poetry chat line. Always impressed with Frank. He did a good job. Psycho.
Right on. I'm sure Frank would love all his comments. And next I hear we have Pee-wee in the house. Hi, Pee-wee. Are we going to play Pee-wee next?
Yeah, that's who's up, Pee-wee.
Okay, great. This is an interesting piece.
I'm assuming there's a SoundCloud, right?
Oh, okay,
yeah,
let me go get the SoundCloud.
Yeah, should be there.
I thought that was part of the poem.
Okay, here we go.
Liquid Sun Highway. Cyclical visual, psychedelic cellular mitosis. Coalescing meaning of all and no things. Everything simultaneously reality. Thrombosis. Feeling euphoria.
Fly away.
Fly away. On no wings. An infinite tunnel made of polychromatic prisms.
World stretching out
as far as I can see.
Amazingly baffling
this schism.
Wondering where red cigarettes could be.
Shimmers and waves
and dances magically.
Living can still be fun
at proper speed.
Back roads of your mind provide the scenery. Headed down the rabbit hole via LSD. Incredibly and indelibly changing perception of every reality you've gotten to know. You've received quite a regal reception in every dimension that you have yet to go.
Words you have keep coming undone.
Melody repeatedly slipping away.
Leaving my one and only song,
liquid sun dripping
right into my
head. The moon is too far away.
Tomorrow, still five lifetimes away.
Colors in the craters.
Dance so freely.
Liquid sun dripping into your brain.
Liquid sun dripping. Wow. How did we get two playing at the same time halfway through? That was weird.
Wow. That was fucking incredible.
An apparent expansion of consciousness with all my favorite colors dividing in my brain. I loved this.
Every single thing about it was so perfectly orchestrated.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you'd have to have been there at some time in your life to really understand what he was talking about. Well, maybe not, but I think it helps to be able to imagine the consciousness he's speaking of when you do that.
I think the tone that he created made that happen already. And beyond that,
definitely,
the music behind it. I mean, I choreographed dance for 18 years. Like, that was like my thing. And the whole time I listened to this poem, I could imagine the movements behind it. And it was just freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this was beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite parts is shimmers and waves and dances magically. Living can still be fun at a proper speed. Back roads of your mind provide scenery headed down the rabbit hole via LSD. And he's very true there. I mean, really. And this verse here, words you have keep coming undone. The melody is repeatedly slipping away, leaving my one and only song unsung, this liquid sun dripping right into my day. Uh-oh. I think we have somebody.
This is my dog. Ignore her.
Oh,
Lily, shut it.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Oh, because there was a doorbell in the background on the video, she thinks there's someone at the door, so she's behaving poorly.
Yeah, we got it. Hi, 603, who's calling?
And, you know, the funny thing for me tonight is that I don't have the poems in front of me. And so I'm just, like, I'm gauging the air of it by just the pieces that I can catch on to. So I can't wait to read this poem in its entirety.
Yeah.
Okay, let me welcome Sky to the show. Hi, Sky.
Hi. I hope you guys can hear me okay. You guys are breaking up pretty bad. I'm over at my mom's house. So can you hear me okay?
Yes,
we can.
Okay,
great.
How are you?
You're here.
Oh, thank you.
We were just going over a poem by Pee-wee, pretty trippy. Hi, Deb.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm hanging in. How are you?
I'm good. Glad to see you here. We have a full house tonight.
All right, we got some new authors. Let's hear their poems.
Yeah, let's get some more comments for Pee-wee first. Guy, did you get to hear it?
No, because I came in. I would have to read it because you guys are.
Oh, okay.
My mom
right.
Lives out. You're breaking up pretty bad, actually. So I did not. I'm sorry.
You know, when I was a child, my brother's favorite movie was Pee-wee's Big Adventures.
Oh, yeah. I remember those.
As I'm looking up Pee-wee on my all poetry, because I want to read his poems now.
Right on. AP, did you have a comment for Pee-wee?
Yeah, I was going to go to a movie, too, but the movie that it sort of took me to was a very strange movie called Trainspotting. And this person had taken drugs and they had trains on their wallpaper, and then all of a sudden all of the trains started moving in all directions as he was looking at them. And it was that sort of sense that was in this poem. It was that sort of everything's moving, you're not sure where it's moving to, and it's sort of in coordination, but it's sort of not. And it was just a really impressive way to put it together.
Mm-hmm. Right. Who else is in it right now? But fabulous movie. If you get a chance, you got to see it.
There's another movie that same crew did called, I gotta remember the name of it. I'm blanking. Ignore me. Never mind. I'll come back to it when I remember.
Okay. Carmine, what did you think?
As far as the movie is concerned, my dear, I did not see the movie, but what I'm hearing from the audience, and also, I mean, from the participants, sounds like I probably would like it very much. In my case, I'm always interested in hearing and reading anything that's new, or should I say inventive. And this seems like, to me, another venture that I would like and take.
Mm-hmm. I remember really quickly. The movie I was thinking about is called Shallow Grave. It's like a British take on it. It's very, 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 very dark humor. But I freaking loved it. And it came out in the late 90s, but nobody's ever heard of it. And it's a great movie to watch.
I don't watch too many movies of horror. I don't know.
It's kind of more of a suspense movie anyway.
I'm afraid of stuff like that. So
I'm not really into that either. The reason I like the movie is because
very interesting, like, detective material and so forth, but not the horror too much.
No. The perspective is what makes this movie really different. The perspective makes it different because it's from the perspective of the people that are scared and didn't mean to do anything wrong and trying to cover up their problems. And it just goes in a direction you wouldn't expect it to. You know, I'm not a big movie person either. It has to be something that really makes me think if I'm going to actually watch it the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Shallow Grave.
Okay,
I recommend that.
Let's get some more comments for Pee-wee here. Dreamstar, what did you think?
I thought that the audio version, like, I had read the poem before, and Pee-wee, it's great. But, you know, I just think that the audio version was just so much more you could just see it, the way that it was going, the way it was flowing, and all the words that it was, like, bringing through and stuff. And the way that, like, it kind of came around and repeated and such.
Right, right. Well, Hatter. Good comment, Dreamstar. Would you like to Pee-wee's wonderful poem?
Yeah, Pee-wee's got a great voice for the SoundClouds, and
so important that the author reads his own. I think that's what helps deliver the message, you know, through the poetry, is the author reading his own, because we don't know where the little nuances is. I mean, reading cold doesn't give anything written justice. Anytime he writes, sends in a SoundCloud or recording, it's always highlighted. And Pee Wee brings it home. Thanks, Pee Wee.
Yeah. Good comment.
I did load up Titus next.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I just want to thank Pee Wee for sharing his poem with us. I thought it was fabulous. So thanks, Pee Wee. And next we have Titus.
Before we do that, hey, Pee Wee, fantabulous job.
Yeah, now does everybody get to the chat line on a team of voices on All Poetry? That's where we're posting the poems to the links so you can have it in front of you.
I'm moving around, so not currently, but I can have it up in front of me soon.
I'm pulling it up right now.
No, I posted it again, so it's down at the bottom of the chat.
Okay. Let me...
I've got the link right here if you want me to hit it.
Yeah, let me pull up the...
I have to look for one.
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Titus.
Samurai. The Forbidden Technique Manuscripts. By the end of the 12th century, samurai became almost entirely synonymous with boshi, and the word was closely associated with the middle and upper echelons of the warrior class. So, in the interest of your own well-being, it would be wise to avoid altercations with any skilled practitioners, some of the 20 or so most lethal martial arts ever created. The maelstrom of emotion, a tender cradle one will uncurl, ribbons of wax if to besot, dripping sensitivity, it will keep the allegiance by what I call it our temporal leeches, sensei, a cellular baptism by the dojo, an initiation process creates pulse scribbled manuscripts. Such words are not expected in manuscripts. Anger widespread. The verbal type will cradle salt-worshipped skin, healed by the initiation. It is the talisman of tropes, calm to besot. I will achieve this labyrinth of Minos, sensei. Only then will the strongest serve allegiance. The phantom kingdoms are but an allegiance. They womb ferry by nurture the manuscripts, say the chosen ones, the most gifted sensei. From the Ark of the Covenant it will cradle the trees from all weathers, managers besot. We are to harden. It helps many an initiation. The manuscripts themselves are an initiation to test our wisdom, to succeed the allegiance, pathetic. Universities are no different. To besot the cackling humor of the leaf, manuscripts phrase it as such, to shame us after the cradle has aided us in our fight, as a privilege, sensei. Bathos, a great anticlimax, great shame, sensei. It is deplorable that we pass out an initiation, yet what is unacceptable to fall into the cradle on behalf of theirs, and to seek one's allegiance, the fear of failure must abide to its manuscripts, whose scold it is then will create a fear to besot. Psychology outwits an opponent, whose besot of fear it holds a Pandora's box, closed sensei, where additional wisdom is kept, manuscripts, not doubt or discouragement for an initiation, where angels fear to tread can aid an allegiance. What's written, it's best we keep a closed cradle. Mind manages to besot fear of the manuscripts. To open a sensei can, he who sought allegiance will keep an initiation process within its cradle.
Well...
Yeah, okay, so Titus, I want to know the name of the poet. What was the name of
this
that
is
poet?
Titus.
And what was the name of the poet?
Titus.
The poem.
Titus Llewellyn.
Samurai, the Forbidden Technique.
Hello? Something, the Forbidden Technique. I want to actually read it. My hearing is a little bad.
Let me make my comment, and then we'll move on and get other comments from you guys. I thought this was an awesome tribute to the samurai and the basic skills of self-sufficient living that is far, far superior than most. These arts are magnificent in power and flow almost soft in a way. The movement is like watching swans dance together, and this piece is impeccably written, Tony, but that's a given. Your imagery here is bold and with the concepts of a warrior, and... let me find the phantom kingdoms are but an allegiance. They womb fairy by nature, the manuscripts say. The chosen ones are most gifted, sensei. From the Ark of the Covenant it will cradle. The trees from all weathers manage as besought we are to harden. It helps many an initiation. Wonderful verse, wonderful writing. Words are not expected in manuscript. Anger widespread, the verbal type will cradle. Salt worship skin, healed by the initiation. It is the talisman of tropes, calm to be sought. I will archive this labyrinth of minus sensei. Only then will the strongest serve allegiance. And that goes to the Bushi code of righteousness, honor, loyalty, respect, and honesty, and flows throughout this piece. You, dear Tony, are a warrior who feels all these things plus one more, superior poetic beauty. Thank you, Tony, for always making my shows a better place. This was wonderful, and now we can get some more comments. First, I'm going to go to Carmine first. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, you know, a samurai sword was a legend, and they only had very, very, should I say, special warriors trained for that. As far as the samurai was concerned, that was not only a legend, but it was part of a part of history in respect to the warrior is concerned. So. What he had written here over here, I believe he's talking about the allegiance of the warrior in respect to his duty, and I believe it had gone until the sword was not really the sword was not that should I say effective, and the bullet came in and had overtaken the sword. So in respect to what he's saying here, I believe he's saying that that will always be, the samurai will always be a part of the legend, and it goes down into history in the allegiance of what these people had to their country and to their cause. So. Well, as far as I can say, he did an excellent job. I mean, I love the flow, and I love the comment. It was psychological in many effects. It's deep. You had to really delve into his thinking here in order to find out really what that allegiance meant. And I believe it's the legion means for all of us, we have to be a legion, have our allegiance to a cause. And as far as that is concerned, be honest and true about it, because that's really takes bravery. And in the samurai sword, courageous bravery was to the death.
Yeah, good comment, Carmine. Deb, what did you think?
Read your inbox, and I'd love to comment. Yeah, I for one thing, I like how he dedicated this to his sensei. I thought that was really cool. And then right from the get-go, the maelstrom of emotion, a tender cradle. He always has such really awesome wording. And there's something in the... I'm still in that first stanza, a cellular baptism by the dojo and initiation. For some reason, I was taken to the Karate Kid for a minute there. But the phantom kingdoms are but an allegiance. They womb fairy by nurture. The manuscript say the chosen ones are most gifted, sensei. It's just... In between the lines, you can feel the respect he has for his sensei, and I thought that was really cool. But I really especially like the pictures that he included there. It was, like, really, really awesome. And the one at the bottom with the rose, I'm like, oh. So it just, and I always like listening to him read. But, yeah, like I said, I really liked the tribute to his sensei, and it was... I think he writes tributes to everyone, and that's such an amazing thing. Awesome poem.
Right on. Great comment, Deb. AP.
Yeah, Linda. The interesting thing about a sustainer is it's one of the oldest forms of poetry going around. It was invented in the end of the 12th century, and it had a revival in the 16th century in France. And then it came back again in the 19th century. It's actually really tough to write because there's a distinct form that you've got to follow where the end words and go in a cycle, basically, as you're going down the poem. And then the three-word envoys have to follow from specific lines. So it's the most specific pattern that you can get. It's the hardest thing, I think, to write in terms of form poetry. And he's done a wonderful job doing it.
Right on. Great comment, AP. Rachel.
Yes, I'm
Rachel,
here.
Rachel, are you on mute?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about this poem. Like, this poem was really interesting for me. I think the first thing that I thought about was that the background music gives it an air of a time that's before what we're doing right now. And then the wording, you know, kind of tied that all together. But, yeah, I mean, I've read a lot of books about ancient, like, Chinese and Japanese history. And, like, I mean, I there's a lot of really great authors out there that write things that you are like, oh, my gosh, I can't remember the name of the my boyfriend's supposed to be in charge of that part. But, yeah, anyway. So I feel like it really hit on that note and that it really captured that moment, and it was a wonderfully written poem.
Thank you. Great comment. I'm sure Titus would appreciate that. Dreamstar.
Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Sorry. I just, like, I'm keeping going on and off of mute. So I really thought the poem was a great tribute and just had such a great feeling to it that just really brought, like what Rachel was saying, like, you know, just kind of that old feeling, that kind of still in that new writing form. And just very powerful writing, very generous in the way that he was like very respectful to his samurai. Also, Liquid, I know we have like a, I guess a forum here, but could I go next?
Sure. Yeah, we can. Can we do that, Hatter?
What's that?
Can Dreamstar go next?
Yeah, I believe that's what I loaded up. I should be on there.
Oh,
chat
look
line.
At that. You guys are psychic.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I just have to go here pretty soon, and I don't want to, like, just leave you on the lurch with my poem.
Yeah, that's fine. No biggie.
I want to thank you for reading it personally. I think that's fabulous.
Yes. I'm a little nervous about it.
All right.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Hatter, you haven't commented yet.
Yeah, Titus. I like his style of writing, but I believe he's listed his deployments at the bottom of the poem there. And proud to know you, Tony. You're a warrior hero to me.
Yeah.
Most respect. Thank you.
Very
and,
cool,
I did load the Dreamstars next. And if this is your first time, remember to keep it to slow down. Everybody reads real fast the first time.
Okay. I will try to just be, like, I'm going to read this the way that I read it when I first created this. So this is actually an older piece of mine. It's called Sit and Wonder. So I'm just going to begin.
Okay,
sorry,
hang on just a
second.
I haven't got the link yet.
Okay. Sorry if my, like, voice trembles or if you hear things on the background. I'm nervous.
I have a feeling this is going to be amazing. Just because if you're nervous, that means you wrote something amazing.
Yeah, I've written a lot of things, poetry, and a lot of things off of all poetry, too. You know, I'm not just a poet. I'm also, I write stories. I write novels. And I've never published any one of them. And so all of the things on all poetry, everything I've done there is the first time I've ever had anybody read my work except for myself. So it's very
right on.
Nerve-wracking. But okay, so I'm going to begin now if everybody has their
take a deep breath.
Yep.
Take a deep breath. Let it out slow and begin, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Listen to the night wind as it whistles at the moon. Watch it stretch through the trees as it passes its silence to the grass, making a sawed whistle. Watch the sun sit on high, making flowers bloom. Hear the bees buzz as they make their last trips. They pull the pollen from the blossoms, making a forest. Smell the rain as it comes and goes, wetting the ground with moisture. Watch the beauty of the drizzle, making the leaves fill with dew. Sit and wonder as the world spins on its axis, the season coming and going slowly. And we wait while each one passes, bringing beauty.
Wow. You know, I don't know what you are worried about. This is so pretty. And it brings out the senses so well. I love the smell of petrichor after the rain, that caramely, warm smell. It's just, I mean, right to the bone. And you did a brilliant job of bringing that out. I could actually smell it while you were reading your poem. And the part that I liked really well was smell the rain as it comes and goes. Wetting grounds with moisture, watch the beauty of the drizzle, making the leaves fill with dew. That is just so pretty, very descriptive, and your imagery in this was so on point with so many fragrances to smell and bringing the olfactory senses, the hardest sense to conjure in a poem. Great job on that.
Definitely.
I thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you will come back again. You did great. And so let's get you some more comments. I know that Rachel is just dying to comment on this. Rachel, what did you think?
Totally dying. I absolutely loved that poem. I thought that it really brought to light some different things that I hadn't. When you listen to a poem and it actually invokes the actual feel and sense of something that's not in front of you, that's an amazing poem. And that's what that was. I thought it was beautifully written.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
And I feel really proud of you. I mean, this is the first time, this is the second time I read a poem on a show. And I was very nervous as well. And so I thought your representation of the words that you've written was the most dramatic part of what you put together. And that's beautiful. You have not just a poetic talent, but also a dramatic talent. And that's something you should put together and capitalize on.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hatter, what did you think?
So, Dream Stars. So, how did it feel reading this? Just a phone call, right?
It kind of feels like just like listening to, you know, other friends talk. You know, you guys have all been really, like, every person who has ever commented on my work has always been exceedingly nice. And everybody here has all been really nice about other people's poems. And so it really helped kind of just knowing what would come and knowing that you guys are very supportive of poets. And, you know, for me, poetry isn't just writing. You know, it's a passion for me. It's not just a hobby. It's something I love and long to do. You know, more recently, I've been writing, like, darker poems. Because of some things that have been going on. But this poem, really just remembering this poem and bringing this poem back up to the light, I just thought, I was like, this is the kind of poem, this is the kind of poetry that just makes me really feel good about my work. So I really just, like, I want to thank you all for listening, and I also want to thank you all for giving me such great comments. And, you know...
Yeah, it helps when you get more comfortable, then you don't have to worry about that. Then you can take your attention to reading it rather than worry about reading it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Right. Karma.
I'm sorry. I hate to interrupt again, but like I want to also say that what you're doing is building you. And it's going to make you into a person that cannot be messed with. And I think that's really cool. Like, you are doing a great job with your poetry. And self-expression can lead you into a greater future.
Okay, I went ahead and loaded Jenny Hunt next.
Hang on 1 minute.
You still there?
Yeah, I'll comment while she's in the green room. For starters,
okay.
Dream Stars, I think for a first read, who knew? If you didn't say it's the first time you ever read, we wouldn't have had a clue because you did such a great job. And I think that your poem is filled with the sights and the sounds that tickle the senses. And in just four stanzas, you took us on a journey as you sat in wonder, which was a really cool title. So I second that thought that hopefully you'll call and read for us again because you did a great job and your poem is awesome. And,
thank you.
Send us back.
Here we go. Thank you very much. AP, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I think the great thing about this poem is it comes from a place of optimism and wonder and hope. And there's something nice about poems that come from that place. But I really like the first stanza, actually. I love the sense of the moon and the night wind whistling at the moon, and it sort of brought to mind, because you did ask, you know, what does it, what do you see when you read it, and what do you feel? And my sense was just of the moon rising, you know, early in the evening, and it going through the trees, and it being that long sort of sense of the moon that you get when it's just rising, and then passing. I love the line passing the silence onto the grass. I think that's wonderful. So no, I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Okay.
Yes, thank you guys.
Beautiful poem.
Thank you.
We hope you come back now.
I will definitely.
Okay, darling.
I don't know about next month. We'll have to wait and see, because the next few months are going to be pretty crazy for me. But thank you
okay,
guys
well,
so
I'll
much keep, for listening.
I'll send you a reminder.
Okay, thank you so much, you guys.
Thank
nice
you for coming. I guess next we have Jenny Hunt, who is a wonderful new poet as well. Does she have a SoundCloud?
She does not. She couldn't get it to work.
Oh, okay. So, Deb, would you like to read it?
Sure, no problem at all. Let me click on that for you. Jenny, okay. And this is called Love Stronger Than Silver and Gold by Jenny Hunt, 2017. Whirling winds of our love gain speed. The embers of his eyes mix with boiling waves of yearning passion. Bursting, it illuminates the sky with flames of our desire. Golden and silver sparks fly. Our love is raining down on us. Minerals of despair dissolve into the ground with the ashes. The fire in his eyes allures me. A new romance between us has been rekindled. My imagination runs wild as he caresses me, teasing me over ever so gently. The thunder explodes from within us, releasing pheromones of seduction. This fire of passion is almost exhilarating, lighting the spark between us, melts us together with his liquid gold of love, making our love now stronger than even silver, gold, or titanium. End poem.
Wow. Love is stronger than silver and gold and titanium, and that is absolutely true. Jenny, you took a prompt and put your own spin on it, and you did a great job, and that takes talent. This is a very lovely piece, my friend. You went in a sensual direction and kept it clean and beautiful without it being tawdry and cheap. My favorite part was, let me see, fly. Our love is raining down on us. Minerals of despair dissolve into the ground with the ashes. I think that is just so very pretty, written with such emotion. Beautiful job, my friend. Jenny, keep the ink flowing. You're doing a great job, and your poetry is getting lovelier as time goes by. Thank you, my darling, for gracing my show with your beautiful poetry once again, and I hope you come back next time. Beautiful. Let's get you some comments. Carmine, what did you think?
That's very romantic. She has a wonderful flow, and of course, as you see, the depthness of their love for each other, as it mentioned, it could not be measured by gold or anything in this world. It's infinite, and as she expressed it in such beautiful language, which is not easy to do, mentions that their feelings will be the beginning of forever. She feels the intensity of his love as well as he does, and in doing so, it is the beginning, like I said, the beginning of forever. That's beautiful. Beautiful writing there. She's got much talent, as I see it, and she has to keep on writing. You know, because she paints a picture,
yeah.
She's got some wonderful words that paint wonderful pictures.
Great comment, Carmine. And Carmine is like a perfect judge of love, because him and his wife celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary yesterday. So tell me about somebody who knows love. I hope you don't mind, Carmine. Yeah.
Well, I want to, if it's okay, I would like to make I would like to ask a question. Yes, we do know quite a bit about love, but can you answer this? What is the major cause of divorce? What is the major cause of divorce? Can you tell me?
Lack of communication.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
What?
Communication.
A lack of communication.
No, that's true. Oh, there's so many of them. But really, you know what the
true
major cause of divorce is? Marriage.
I wasn't going to say it, Carmine. I was going to let you have your thunder. Great job. Great job. Okay, let's see. AP.
Yes.
What did you think?
Well, I thought it was a really interesting poem. I then went off to try and find what the strongest metal was, because that's just me. And so I guess she was talking about tungsten, because that's, you know, the strongest metal going around. It's a bit shattery, but, you know. But no, seriously. I thought it was a really lovely poem. It's really hard to write about love without it being sort of something that's sort of all syrupy. And she didn't do that. She just wrote really truly and honestly about her feelings, and it was a really nice write.
Right. Good comment. Rachel. Are you on mute, Rachel?
Oh, yeah, I was on mute. I really enjoyed it. I thought that it had very interesting. I'm getting tired. I thought that it was really well written. It made me think. It made me feel. I feel like it was well done.
Right on. That's good. Deb.
Yeah. Well, for starters, it was my honor to be your reader, Jenny, and I thought that she captured the heat of attraction and the pull of love in some really awesome wording, and her descriptions were gorgeous. Like the fire in his eyes allure her, and the thunder explodes from within us. I thought that the metaphors were really clever, too, so it's a great brevity.
Right on, Deb. Good comment. And Hatter.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Jenny has shared with us something a little different than the dark side of a breakup. This is the rekindling of a love can be as good as the first. She really hits it with the metaphors, like Deborah said. I agree with that. And good to see you writing a little more out of the dark, Jenny. This is really good.
Yeah, great comment, Hatter.
Yeah, I did load Amethyst next.
Yeah, I thought she was going to be here. Is that there's no SoundCloud for her?
You want me to load the next one? You want me to hold on to this one? See if she calls
in.
Yeah,
hold on to that for a minute. We'll see if she shows up.
Okay. I'll grab the next one then. And that will be Arcana. And I'm back. Is there usually a, isn't there usually a recording for his?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Yeah, cool.
Let me get the link posted up there. Arcana.
I think I deleted the first one for you, Linda, so it wouldn't accidentally get played.
Speak not to me of night, when shadows swell where night owls dwell. For 'tis my plight to fade from sight in this hollow shell, to wander such hell. I walk alone where phantoms roam. My presence crawls through clinging pores within this pitch so darkly rich. Each footstep sighs neath darkened skies. I have fallen so far beyond yonder star. Now I roam through night by pale moonlight in an empty embrace, since my fall from grace. Only an angel hears when heaven sheds tears. Crows sing cries of cord goodbyes to seraphic things and absent wings. They shriek their songs in flapping throngs towards my ears when nightfall nears. As I search around upon the ground, I seek to find what lies behind of feathered shreds where an angel treads in a dark silhouette of winged regret. With shivered chills where night air spills, my time is spent as thoughts repent. I pray clemency to warm this cold forlorn and deliver this lament sincerely sent.
Wow, that was an amazing, amazing poem. He's got such a control on his voice when he reads. And don't even get me started on the rhyme scheme in this. It was just too much. He is just an excellent rhymer. And the way he did this was so cool. And it's, you know, it was full of sad stuff, you know, kind of like angels are dying and it's sad and heaven's crying and I don't like that. But, you know, his poems are absolutely so beautifully sad that it's amazing. He just really can spin a poem. I think the part I like best is I have fallen so far beyond yonder star. Now I roam through night by pale moonlight in an empty embrace since my fall from grace. Only an angel hears when heaven sheds tears. That is just so beautifully written. And the poem is, like, amazing. So I'm going to give it over to AP this time. Would you like to comment, AP?
Yeah, thanks, Linda. It's a really nice thing to be able to do if you can actually do the double rhyme within the line. It just gives you a lovely cadence, and he's done that all the way through. So he's got basically an AABBCCDD type setup, and then in the last he's got the actual rhyming, the double rhyme in the second and fourth line. So he rhymes beautifully. But more importantly than rhyming beautifully, you've actually got to be able to tell a story. And when you're rhyming, and Akana definitely does that, it's a beautiful voice, he records it beautifully, and it's got real presence, and he tells a story. And so just a really, really good piece.
Right on, AP. Deb.
Yeah, you know, he is one of our theatrical readers, and he always seems to pair the music with it, and it always adds to it. And in this one, it wasn't the same music, but it had the same feel as, like, the background in the Exorcist movie sometime, which added to the drama. He painstakingly sets the tone and sets the scene and takes us on a journey from beginning to end. And with that ending there, with shivered chills where night air spills, my time is spent as though repent, as thoughts repent, I can't even read tonight. I pray clemency to warm this cold forlorn and deliver this lament sincerely sent. It's like the inner and outer rhyme. And he's just really, really good. And I'm so happy that he stumbled upon us and that he keeps sharing. Another great one.
Deborah, you're up next. Deborah's up next. So.
Okay. Tatter, you want to comment?
I wasn't able to follow. I had to take care of something, but I did.
Oh, okay.
I looked up the next one. Yeah.
Carmine.
I have to agree with all of the comments that had just been mentioned in respect to the rhyme, in respect to the flow, in respect to the inner feelings of I feel regret, and I could see the intensity of what he's saying, because as far as life is concerned, the choices we make and the consequences we have to live with and sometimes die with. Well, he's mentioning here he did make a mistake, as I feel it. And so in so doing so, the most difficult thing to carry is a regret. But the poem in its entirety is, as I mentioned before, with the other poems, very deep. It's a sense of consciousness that he's portraying in respect to life itself. And so we have to be very careful, as I mentioned, of the choices we make. And that's what I believe he's saying to all of us.
Yeah, good comment, good comment. Okay, let's see what we got going. What's on the board? We have Carmine next.
Oh, well, here I am.
Linda.
Yeah.
Linda.
What?
Deborah's got to go, so she's next, and then Carmine.
Okay, Deb's next, and then Carmine.
You want me to be next, too?
No, Deb's going next, because she's got to go, and then you're next after Deb.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Carmine. Okay. Lost the board. There it is. All right. This is called Without a Trace from my Nightmare series. Here we go. Honeycomb yellow colors the blazing sunball, and trees swing, tossing leaves on the balcony. Now 8 blackbirds fly over the mansion wall, spiraling and tweeting a symphony just for me. Darkness traps me and the light in me falls, dressed from toes to hairs and shades of ebony. Columns line the patio deck like marble guards as the breezes shove opal clouds on the views, shadowing footprints that mark the courtyards. Then mist envelops the sky's pink thistle blues, staining moonstone gray onto clouded shards, circulating in the moist fog, tie-dyeing the hues. That tie-dyed fog yanks me in, carrying me off. Now the birds whistle me dirges as I vanish, whisked in a tornado of silence and darkness. And the last sound my ears hear is swish.
Well done. Very well done. This was beautiful, Deb. The imagination in this is quite lovely. And right, to be able to read it and not have any, what did that mean in it? You know, this was beautifully written. And I just love the whole thing. There's not one part of it that I think I liked better than the rest, except I love that last line, and the last sound my ears hear is swish. That's so beautiful, and the way you read it was so mesmerizing and elegant. I really loved it. So let me get you some comments.
Thank you, Linda.
Hatter. You're welcome, Deb.
Yeah, Deborah writes so well, but this reminded me of at some point in the history of everything, we were made into stardust, and we will return to stardust one day. But that's what I got in my last sound my ears hear, swish. We'll turn to the wind. It's a beautiful poem.
Thank you, Heather.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Hatter. AP.
Yes. Deb always uses color beautifully. There's color all the way through this. It's color in contrast to the darkness, but it's color nonetheless. It's even that, you know, you've got tie-dyed fog, you've got honeycomb yellow, you've got marble guards. And so it's very descriptive, but it's descriptive in a good way, because it actually contrasts it to the darkness that happens at the end.
Thank you, AP.
John and Carmine.
Well, She has an artistic way with her words, and it paints a beautiful picture of life in behalf of the various colors that we live by. Sometimes they're bright and sometimes very dark. But the reality, as one of the comments mentioned, is from dust to dust. And that last line, which is a very eloquent an expression, mentions that it's gone, it's wish. And so when you read something like that, it's very reflective and meditative in behalf of our beings. So she did an excellent job. She deserves a lot of credit.
Thank you, Carmine.
Right on. And that brings us to Carmine's poem.
All right, well, my poem is entitled Mountain Trail. Misty grassy meadows, belly herbs and shrub, rising trout and rippling streams, home to bear and cub. Perky squirrels, chipmunk, deer, coyotes, beaver, sheep, fox and elk on golden buff of daisy jewelry. Honey moss basks in the sun, while tufts of yellow blue leapfrog rocks with lofty crags like children, two by two. Spider webs and fluffy fern, mushrooms marching time, endless with the hemlock, birch, and ponderosa pine. Blackbird, eagle, hawk, and owl, blue jay, robin, quail, meadowlark, and cardinal grace the wonder trail. Higher hearts begin to pound, dizzy headaches spin, but the sound of silence calls, moves the hearts within. Burning streams and whispering winds sigh harmonic tones. Far beyond the canopy, grumbling thunder groans. Rain and fury lash the branch. Lightning streaks the sky. Purple fingered the majesty, beautiful the eye. Silver lakes and valleys deep, snow-whipped creamy crowns, clawing clouds of creeping fog to roller coaster ground. Here, no billboard, Renoman neon sign stalks with smoke or smog. Here, the mind and heart in prayer communicate.
Wow. That was such a beautiful description of the beauty of this earth created by God, Carmine. You nailed it. It took me back to my little cabin I grew up in at Smiley Creek, Idaho. Enchanting as this piece says, it's spot on with the crisp air and crystal waters I remember from my youth. My favorite part is when you said, silver lakes and valleys deep, snow-whipped creamy crowns, clawing clouds of creeping fog through roller coaster ground. Here no billboard neon sign stalks with smoke and smog. Here the mind and heart in prayer communicate with God. What a beautifully put verse. I thank you tremendously for this beautiful poem. Thank you for another installment in the Liquid Damage Lounge, Carmine.
Thank you, my dear.
Oh, you're very welcome, Carmine.
Pretty sure Deb had to take off.
Oh, Deb had to go? Okay, Hatter.
And I'm fetching things right now. Deb, pass me by.
What was that?
I'm in the middle of something. I wasn't able to follow you. You have to pass me by this time.
Oh, okay. All right. AP.
A lovely read. Beautiful read. It's just lovely to hear your voice and the voice of experience actually read a poem like this. Number one. Number two, beautifully rhymed and beautifully put together and constructed. Some of the descriptions are quite beautiful. Linda talked about the last stanza that I'll talk about second last, which is gurgling streams and whispering winds, sigh harmonic tones, far beyond the canopy, grumbling thunder groans. It's beautifully put together. It's got lovely assonance in the poem as well as structure and a lovely final message. So very, very well done.
So took me back to my growing up in the mountains in a little cabin in the woods. It was called the Little Cabin on Smiley Creek. And running from badgers and chasing the deer. And for that memory to come back so clear, it was like a photograph in my mind, Carmine, and you put that there with this beautiful poem. So thank you very much.
I appreciate all the comments, my dear, and it's very inspiring. It's very encouraging.
Well, you're wonderful.
And more writers need that, all of us, because it's the written
right.
word that touches all of us, no matter what what subject someone is going to feel it. And if it touches someone's heart or touches someone's mind or touches someone's memory, then we have done our jobs. And that's why writing is a very special gift. It's a gem of all gifts. And from what I heard tonight from the people who have written so beautifully, it's an honor to be among a great crowd of my associates. So thank you very much. Much.
You're very welcome. You know, I have a sleeping disease, and my husband says that the only thing that keeps me awake is poetry. So I am truly inspired by poetry, and I read a lot of it, and I love reading poetry from my friends, and you guys are awesome.
That would be you.
That would be me. Ah, okay. Let me get my link.
I should say to Liquid Damage, very, very well done for your third place in the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation contest that just finished. So we had 30 entries.
I thank you.
You've
for
managed
that.
To go in the top
thank
three,
you.
Which is a great effort.
Right on. Thank you very much. This is called On a Wing and a Prayer, and it was for my friend Sweepy, who lost her mother-in-law, who was a painter and painted this picture. And it goes like this. She paints the story of herself with dreams and memories, hoping that it shall last for many centuries. She'll fly home on a wing and a prayer, no need for any tears. The Holy Spirit got her by the wing to relinquish all her fears. The wind is calling out her name, so it's time that she shall fly. Give your tears to bluebirds. They'll sing songs as she dies. She goes in peace for children, so really don't be blue. All that she takes with her are memories of you. This painting says she loves you. Her life has been so sweet. But now God wants her by his side to take a golden seat. Look and see her colors. Maybe few but ever bright, just enough to see her through from dark till morning light. Chase the wind and she'll be there, bringing you a smile. Don't grieve for her, oh darling ones. She'll see you in a while. End poem.
I remember this just the other night on the Sweet Peas show. This is very... very good, and it was touching the second time around also. AP, you want to comment?
Yeah, it was lovely to hear you read the poem, Linda. I just think this comes from a lovely place. The sense of connection with family, the sense of love and joy between generations just comes through in this poem. And, you know, that for me was why it was so highly ranked in the competition.
Thank you, AP. Thank you so much. And, you know, thank you for the third place. I cherish that. And I had no idea. I mean, this was like a last-minute rush thing that I did for Deb, that she prompted me to do this. I didn't even know what was going on. And so I popped this one out and put my heart into it. And wow, third place is amazing. So thank you very much.
Cool. And Carmine, you want to comment?
That was beautiful, my dear. Oh, it was just absolutely very beautiful and very emotional. It's a tribute to the, you know, to the character and her love for what she, you know, had always done, and how she shared it. But even the last line where it mentioned, you know, don't cry for her, you know, don't cry for her, because she wants you to smile. So it's a beautiful attitude in respect to life and also even the passing away. And then she said she'll see you a while. So it's, there's the inevitability. Very emotional, very like, and like I said, something that makes you think. And that's what we have to do in life. We have to give it our best. And once we give it our best, as it had been portrayed, then in effect, we are loved. And it never dies. True love never fails. True love never dies. And so this poem emphasizes that, and that's why I say it's beautiful.
Thank you, Carmine. I think that's everybody left in the studio. And so the
did AP bring something?
Oh, AP.
Look, I can do one of two things. Linda, you can choose. You're the host, right? I actually wasn't able to enter that competition because I was judging it. But I did write a little poem this week about that image. Or I can do my poem that I was going to bring before you did your piece on spring, which I did this morning. So your choice, spring or the little sweet poem that I did that I wasn't allowed to enter because I was judging.
Pick Mac Poe.
It is. Good like that. Your choice, Linda. Which would you like?
How about the one on spring?
Good. We can do that. Easy. This morning and did a picture for my ills, and then I thought I'd actually do a poem for that. So that's where this comes from. The picture came first, yeah? So this is called, when I paste it up there.
Thank you, AP.
This is called Towards Spring, and it goes a little bit like this. Waters gather onto mountain peak steeple, clouds of frost lined, while if colder as snow. Dance upon rocks strewn absent people, the droplets fall naked to the slopes below. They gather among in the smallest crevices. Small shallow ponds are often frozen to solid ice. Hiding from the sun and tessellated terraces, their journey halted within shadow's spice. Until wisps are blown by inner spring breeze, when the roof of the valley again into view. And while many in far cities left to wheeze, solid ice is warmed and soon forms a dew. Rivulets then trickle by the rocks to streams, gently they bubble with energy and rhythm. Cold water sparkles well through the gleam, tiny rainbows jostling as light past the prism. Until those watercourses started far away with energy to gather below standing tall. Tumble distances as confetti boxes stray, shimmering dance only seen in a waterfall. End poem.
Aw, that's beautiful, AP. And you know, they say water is the strongest force on earth. It molds mountains and... you know, I live right across from glaciers, too, that we can see well, and one's down a bit. But the glaciers up there are so formidable and huge that when you look at them, you feel so small in God's world. Mm-hmm. He created this massive, massive thing out of water and ice. And that's what this reminded me of. Right outside my window, I can see this. And we're waiting for the spring breezes to come, but every time they come, they bring more snow. So we're still waiting. It's been snowing almost every day, except today. I don't think it snowed any today. But this is a beautifully written poem, and the imagery here is brilliant. It shows how the waters get formed by you know, the ice fall off and the it says right here, rivulets then trickle by the rocks to streams. Gently they bubble with energy and rhythm. Cold water sparkles well through the gleam. Tiny rainbows jostling as light passes the prism. That is so pretty, AP. But I want to thank you for joining us tonight. It really means a lot. And your poem is lovely. So let me get you. Carmine, what did you think?
Oh, I love that. I love that poem. It says it's got... it's got wonderful imagery, and spring, you can see the water is melting and now the spring comes. And of course, it's the power of the sun that melts. And, of course, the water is refreshing. And the expression, the words that he used are, should I say, well, impressive, because they paint a beautiful picture. He's got a flow there just like the water. And, you know, when your poetry flows and it's got that feeling, the imagery and the color and the painting, you become a part of it. You become a comer. You can actually be there. As far as the glaciers are concerned, the heat and systems that we have now are melting the glaciers. And so, as you said, the water is the most powerful thing in the world. Yes, it's slowly creeping up on us, and that's why we have to do something. But let's welcome the spring. And as far as the grip of winter, it's not that strong, not when spring is near. So right on, my dear friend. I loved it.
Thank you.
I really did.
Right on. And Hatter.
Yeah, I'll jump on that bandwagon. Water is the most powerful force. At any given time, it's doing something. It's flowing. As it stands still in pond, it can be frozen, it can fall as rain or ice and snow. It can, like I say, it can be evaporating at the same time somewhere else. So it's a continued force. It can build the beaches and it can wear away mountains. It's a good metaphor to use anything with water. It's one of the senses that you can extend to write. Anytime you put the senses into your poem, to try to get all as many as you can, touch, feel, hear, and smell, builds, strengthens the poem, always does. This is very good. And you just happen to jot this down, AP, just on a side note, you just want to jot this down. Show it off. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good comment, Hatter. And while I have a moment, we have one more.
We have the poet, and then we have Amethyst. We passed. Hoping
oh, that's
call.
Right. She never showed up. Okay, let's do that. Let me real quick thank everybody for coming tonight. Hatter, you're just a pleasure to have. AP, thank you so much. Carmine, you're a doll. Dreamstar, Rachel, Greg, Sky, for stopping by. Pee-wee, Frank, Deb, Titus, Jenny, and Arcana, thank you all for putting your pieces in and supporting my show. And now we have, and there's another show next week if you all want to come. I'll be here. So now let's get it on to, I guess, Phil's next.
Yeah, Phil's next, and that will, besides Amethyst, now we could read it tomorrow on Saturday, on Hatterday Saturday, if you would like. We are down to seven
okay.
minutes, so we could go over a few minutes.
Okay. Well, let's do Phil.
Okay.
There's only
SoundCloud header.
And here we go.
Yeah, it's there.
Cool.
It should. Oh, it didn't go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Sad Tale of the Edmund Fitzgerald. The Edmund Fitzgerald went out one November night. The wind conjured up a storm as Superior's waves crashed upon the deck of the freighter that cold November night. The witches cackled, the winds howled, the waves did smash. Tossing and turning the Edmund Fitzgerald like a toy, men struggling with nature's bombardment, trying to survive. Panic sinks in as Johnny thinks about his wife and little boy. The tempest has her claws out. Will there be anyone left alive? Working for a little extra to pay the rent and help get by. Should have stayed home with Betsy, listening to the storm outside. But Johnny is soaked to the bone, gives an eerie sigh, when he realizes that this monster will never subside. The Edmund Fitzgerald groans as it splits in two. The screams of 29 men mingle with the wind, the bitter November night when the tempest blew. The lake is still and calm, with nothing left behind. Betsy stands at the window, staring at the crashing waves, while Johnny Jr. lies dreaming of a fishing trip, both unaware that the waters cover 29 graves, and that cold night, the November witch clutched the Edmund Fitzgerald in her grip. End poem.
Beautifully done. Phil, hearing you read this was really a nice treat. You're such a great storyteller. I just love the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald, and you did an extra lovely job reading of it. The part I like best was the Edmund Fitzgerald groans as it splits in two. The screams of 29 men mingle with the wind. That the bitter November night when the tempest blew, the lake is still and calm with nothing left behind. Just beautifully written. And excellent writing, Phil. The imagery in this is quite strong and emotional, and you nailed this, especially with the addition of the little girl and boy experiencing the storm at the same time. Excellent job, Phil, and I truly want to thank you for adding your wonderful storytelling to my show. Thanks, Phil. AP, what did you think?
Yeah, it's a great story. I was actually just reading about the actual sinking of the ship and that it was only in 1975 and that it was the largest ship to go down in Lake Superior. So I really like the perspective of the poem. He's a wonderful rhymer. And when he says his own poems, he says it with such it's a wonderful tone to his reading, and it's just perfect for the poem. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Right on. Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's an amazing poet, as well as like a header.
I got mine to read, and we got just enough time probably before the end of the show.
Okay, can we let Carmine comment real quick?
Sure. That's whatever you need.
Carmine?
That story is very famous. Of course, the ship is very famous, but he painted a beautiful picture of that. Yes, of course, you know, in Lake Superior, the waves of Lake Superior just don't go one way. They go they flip-flop, and that's what's about the lakes. And in this case, it mentioned that, these men were doomed because the lake is, it's merciless. And he portrayed that beautifully. And, of course, as far as those who were wanted to think that maybe it would have been best to stay home, were caught in the dilemma of the situation, and boom, they were gone. So he's some storyteller. I got news for you. I loved it.
Yeah.
And you got to tell us more, because our ears are open. Good job.
Goes over.
Yeah, we can go over, but you have to thank everybody, right? We're down to the end of the last minute.
Yeah, I thanked everybody. Yeah, I thanked everybody, and you're all awesome. Thanks.
We'll just let it click to the next minute, which should be any second, and then that way if anybody in the archives can listen to my one poem. There it goes. Okay, I put it up on the board, The Thousand Shells. I don't think I've shared this much. I found it in the vault. It goes like this. Imagine how many it would take to find 1,000 shells one at a time. Sally loved to collect and keep as she finds from the ocean deep. Years go by and Sally returns so she might find how much she earned. Every year she would find those things on the beach while she went hunting. Gathering shells, she finds them more. Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
Aww. Hatter, that's beautiful. I love that. You know, I had speech therapy when I was little, and I had to say that over and over and over. Sally sells seashells by the seashore. And I still have problems saying it. But what a lovely poem. You concocted that in a beautiful way to where it was so cohesive and brilliantly done. I loved it. AP.
Yeah, it's cute, isn't it? I mean, it's constructed around that last line, which is fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't see it coming, which is good. So, no, it's a very cute little brevity and a really neat ending, Heather.
Yeah, I wrote it for a prompt. Was the actual tongue twister.
Ah.
I can't remember the details.
Yeah.
Of what it was, but that's why I picked Sally Sells Seashells by the Seashore. Yeah, and you're right. I had that line had to be the last line.
Yeah.
I wrote.
Yeah. Perfect. It's perfect.
Good show, Linda. Great show.
Yeah, good show, guys. Thank you for hanging out, AP. Thank you, Hatter, for all your work.
Thank you.
True friends.
You know what?
What's
you didn't
that?
Tell one joke. You didn't tell one joke.
Oh, I know. We had so many poems. Well, let's see. What do I got here? Where'd my jokes go? Oh, here we go.
What's your joke?
Joke.
Did you hear about the giant who threw up?
No.
It's all
what?
Over town.
Oh.
The giant who threw up?
No.
Oh, let's see. No. This is a cute one, and you heard it last week, so don't spill it. But AP didn't hear it. penguins walk into a bar, which is stupid because the second one should have seen it. I like that one.
Yeah. The bar.
So what is red and smells like blue paint?
What's red? No, blue paint.
Red paint, right. You guys are too quick for me. I'm going to have to get a new joke writer.
Stop.
Why aren't koalas actual bears?
They're wearing clothes.
That's a good question.
They don't meet the qualifications.
Oh, dude.
Oh.
Qualifications.
That's nice.
Okay, what does a pepper do when it gets angry?
The pepper?
A pepper.
Well, peppers. Don't know.
It gets jalapeno face.
Jalapeno face, man. That's pretty good.
Okay, guys.
Yeah.
I'll save my new joke for next week.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Pleasure.
You're welcome, my dear. Have a wonderful evening. And
thank you so much for being here. Okay. You guys have a good night.
Okay. Cool. Bye, everybody.
Bye,
you too, my dear.
Bye, Carmine. Bye, Deb. Bye.